Hallelujah. I see you, Pastor.
Blog Talk Radio.
My prayer for love.
I pray. Teach the children to pray. Sometimes I lay flat on my back and I pray, and I pray. Well, and I ask her, I ask the wisdom. Teach mother to pray. I pray and I pray, I pray that your will be done. Well, that your will be done.
He needs to learn to pray.
Listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalane Cook, founder, owner, and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network, and I'd like to welcome you to Every Man Standing in His Place for this Friday, June 18th, 2021. Now, here's the host of Every Man Standing, our anointed brother, Pastor Jeffrey Scott. Amen. Pastor Scott.
Hallelujah. You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network. And now we would like to introduce you to your host, hallelujah, Pastor Jeffrey Scott. Amen. Pastor Jeffrey, are you having technical difficulty?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I'd like to thank everyone for visiting with us this evening and those who will be listening later on. God bless each and every one of you. And like the song said earlier, we need prayer. We need to learn how to pray. We need to really be prayerful these days as things are going the way they are. So just keep in mind that prayer is always necessary no matter what's going on in our lives. We can pray because things are happening. We have situations in our life, or we could pray just to say, thank you, Jesus, because God has just been so good to us. Amen. So welcome to Every Man Standing in His Place, and we have a special person that is part of the Spirit Alive family that's going to be bringing a word from the Lord today. And we have Apostle Edwin Holloway, and we want to bring him in right now. Amen. Apostle Edwin Holloway, God bless you.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise God. Amen.
Thank you. We give God the praise, the glory, and honor. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you, O God, that you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Father God, we thank you for all the listeners, O God, upon this broadcast. Father God, we ask you, Lord, to break up the fallow ground. O God, and now, oh God, your word to saturate the ground so there may be fruit, oh God, to grow. There may be fruit meet for repentance. So God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, we thank you tonight, oh God, that you are allowing this broadcast to go around the world. Father God, that we all might have a might hear you, oh God, speak through, oh God, those that you call to do so. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to touch, oh God, deliver, set free, God. And Lord, let the words of my mouth in the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God, nothing but you, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, and we give you the praise, we give you the glory, and we give you the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, Sunday coming is Father's Day. And I want to put something on each father, wherever you may be. I want to put something on your mind.
Thank you, Jesus.
To let you know, oh God, let you know that there is a mandate on your life. If you call yourself a father, you have a mandate. There was a song a long time ago that the Temptations put out. Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. And when he died, he left us all alone. I want to put something on your mind today. I have some words for you. I'm going to start off the fathers. Number one, duty of the father. Then I'll go down the examples of fatherhood. So let us go to duty of the father. Turn with me in the book of Proverbs, chapter 2, 22, excuse me. Proverbs 22 and 6. Proverbs 22 and 6. And it reads, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's your responsibility. If you are considering yourself as a father and you a father of some children, it is your obligation. It is your responsibility. Nobody else. Nobody else. It's your responsibility. If you had something to do with them children coming into the world, you are responsible for them. Training them up in the way they should go. Giving them instructions in what to do, how to do. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Yeah, he may go astray, but he's going to come back to the word that you preached, you gave him, the training that you gave him. Mm-hmm. All right, let us go to Deuteronomy 6:20. 6 chapter 20 verse. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, 20, and we're going to go from 20, verse 20 through 25. Deuteronomy 6, starting with the 20th verse. And when thy son asked thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimony and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you, then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondsmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon the Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our God always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he had commanded us. Now, my brethren, it is your duty to tell your children the history of the family. Tell them what happened. Tell them where they came from, as much as you know about the heritage of the family. Even you may take your son, your daughter, your children to the matriarch or the patriarch of the family, and they sit down and they tell them the story. I know in my family, I found that I had some Cherokee and some Cherokee and some Irish in my blood. And I asked my uncle, how did we get to have a Cherokee Indian in our blood? He would not tell me, because whatever happened back then was so gruesome that he would not want to tell me. But I say to you, make sure you tell them, no matter how gruesome it may be, so that they will know where they came from. If they know where they came from, they will know where they're headed. If they don't know where they're going and came from, they won't know where they're headed. They don't know nothing. But it's our obligation. Chaining them up, teaching them, letting them know about the heritage. All right, let us go on to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and we're going to read verse number 14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you. This is Paul talking to the Corinthian church. Ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Now, Paul was talking about the finances, talking about heritage. He's saying, I didn't come to minister to you and look for you to give me offering, to give me money. But he's saying, you as parents, you as a father, you are supposed to lay something up for your children, a heritage. And it's for the father to lay hands on the firstborn and to pass that over to the children, over to that firstborn. I know I missed it. I got to my father too late, and he passed on. But I still give God praise, glory, I'm here. And God is blessing us every day.
Yeah.
So, we look to God, the author and the finisher of our faith. Provide. We are to provide for the children. And then in due season, when we get old, you've laid up for your children, your children can take care of you. They don't need to take care of you in your young age. You need to take care of them and lay up for them. So when they get out of college, when they get out on their own, there is something there for them. There's something there for them. They have money to go to college. They have something to start their life on,
yeah,
to get out there and go. All right. Our next scripture is Ephesians 6 and 4. Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 4th verse. 6 and 4. And it reads, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Now, I looked up the word nurture in American Heritage Dictionary, and it says nurture, the act of bringing up, rearing the sum of environmental influence and conditions, acting on an organism. In other words, you are to make the environment of your home, your residence, the environment of your residence should be in for us saints of God, it should be holy. The environment should be at peace in your house. The environment should be love in your house. And you are rearing up your child or your children in that atmosphere. They should see you and mama holding hands. They should see you kiss your wife. They should see the love of Christ in the two of you, nurturing them, teaching them, giving them something to hold on to. Don't provoke them to wrath. Don't cause them, you're rearing them up in a good atmosphere that they might know. Bringing them up in the nurture and admonition. Admonition, the word admonition is mild or kind reproof. Cautionary advice or warning. You warn your children about things. Warn your children about what's going on in the world. Warning them if they do certain things that they're going to get into trouble. You're teaching them, you're warning them, you're giving them sound advice. You're reproving them. Tell them, no, we don't do that here. No. You can't bring that in here. No, well, this is, we walking with the Lord. You can't do this. Nurturing and in the admonition of the Lord. You always talking about the Lord. You always quoting scripture. If you don't quote scripture, you sitting down at dinner time and you read the word. You read the word and you teaching them the word.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. All right, our next scripture is Colossians 3:21. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You are to encourage your children. You are to speak life into your children. You are to speak a word into your children. Son, you're going to be something one day. I see you right now. I see what you like to do, and you keep on with it, you're going to be the best there is. You are encouraging them and causing them to feel good about themselves. I know for me, it was told I would never be nothing. But God, he got me to this place. But along the way, the enemy kept saying, hey, you ain't going to be nothing. You ain't going to be nothing. You ain't going to be nothing. And I kept proving him wrong. I kept on doing what God said to do. I held on to God's hand, and I never let God's hand go. So I was able to get out of the dump. I was able to move up and move out. I was able to do what I needed to do. But it was God that caused me to get here. Plus, after I got saved, I learned spiritual warfare. I kept praying. I kept decreeing, and I bound and cast out that spirit that would cause me not to be able to do the cause me to keep me from doing. So, but I say to you, fathers, provoke not your children. Teach them, love on them. All right, let us go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and verse 4. 1 Timothy, 3rd chapter, and we're going to read verse 4 and 5. And it says, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? If you can't rule your own house, how are you going to be a preacher? How are you going to be a teacher? How are you going to be a deacon in the church or bishop or whatever in the church or in any position? If you can't rule your house, you have to take control. You have to take control of your house. You have to lay your foot down. You got to lay your foot down. And when they get unruly, you put the rod to the back. The scripture says you put the rod to the back, drives away foolishness. I know when I made some mistakes, my father put the rod to my back, and he really got me my back. He was going to do my behind, but I said I had sore on my behind. He said, pull your shirt off. He put the rod to my back. He put his belt to my back, and I never, my father had passed away in 2002. And to this day, I will never make him late for a meeting. I learned. So fathers, control your house. All right. We're going to go into the second part. And the second part, examples of fatherhood. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to Genesis, the 37th chapter, starting with the 31st verse. Genesis, the 37th chapter, starting with the 31st verse. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat, as evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. This is Jacob. Jacob loved his son. He loved all his sons, but Joseph was his last born son. And he was born in Jacob's old age. And he loved him. And he loved him, so he made a coat of many colors. But Joseph had a problem. He would tell, his problem was he told everybody his dreams. Sometimes you can't tell everybody your dream, because the people around you get jealous. And his brothers got jealous. And they hated him. And they decided they were going to do something to Joseph. And Joseph was told by his father, Jacob, to go find the brothers and find out how they're doing, bring food to them and find out for me how they are doing. They were out in the field and they had the sheep. And so they caught him and put him in a pit. But they was gonna kill him. But one of the brothers said, no, don't kill him. And the Ishmaelites came by. And the Ishmaelites came by and they took Joseph out and they sold him to the Ishmaelites. Well, we know the story. God had given Joseph a dream that Joseph was going to be ruler and they were going to bow down to Joseph. And they didn't like that. I ain't bowing down to my little old brother. And so they had him killed, but Jacob mourned. Jacob wept and mourned for his son. and verse number 34, and Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his sons many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son's mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Here's a father, an example of a father. He believes his other sons, that his youngest son at that particular time was dead, and he mourned for him and cried out to God for him. He wept for him. Now let us go to 2 Samuel, 12th chapter, 16th verse. 2 Samuel. Second Samuel 12:16. And it reads, David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. Here is David, had a son, an illegitimate son. And God got on David's case, if I may say it that way, that he did wrong, and David had to pay for it. And David spent the night praying and fasting for that child. He did what he knew to do to get before God. But we know the story that David, the child died. The child died. David got up the next morning, wiped his face, put on his, changed his clothes, washed his face, and went on about his business. Went on to do what he had to do because he knew that God, that he couldn't receive that child because of what he did wrong. Had a man killed because he looked at the man's wife. We got to be, as fathers, we have to do right. All right, let us go on to another scripture. Mark the fifth chapter. Mark the fifth chapter and the 22nd verse. Mark the fifth chapter, the 22nd verse. And we're going to jump over to the 35th verse. Says, and behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Going over to verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word, that was spoken. He saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brothers of James. Jesus only took three of his disciples because he had to go in and perform a miracle, and he had to get rid of the spirit of unbelief. He had to get some, he had to have those that believed in him and believed in his word, believed in the miracle signs and wonders. So he did not take all the disciples. So he went on with just Peter, James, and John. Verse number 38. And he coming to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that weep and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleep. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in there where the damsel was lame. He took five other people in. He took the mother and the father and the Peter, James, and John. Five is great. But those he brought in, the mother and father, because they were the parents of the child. And Jesus had already told Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe. In other words, believe what I can do. Believe me. I'm telling you what I'm telling you. Believe what I say. Believe on me. And the three disciples, they believed. So he didn't have no spirit of unbelief in the house. So, verse 40, verse number 41, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kuma, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Now she was dead, and Jesus came and grabbed her hand and spoke to her and told her to rise. And she hadn't eaten for a long time. So Jesus not only was a healer, but he knew what to do about the body. He was almost like the doctor. He said, give her something to eat. And now she's arisen. Now she's risen. Now she's made whole. Now give her something to eat to replenish what was gone. So God, Jesus, not only brought her back to life, but he gave them something to do to sustain her. So Jairus believed. He went and running. He went to Jesus and had Jesus to come to his house. He believed. He sought help for his child. He sought help. All right. Let us go to Luke. We're going on to Luke, the 15th chapter, the 20th verse. Luke 15 and 20. And we're going to read 20 on down to 24. Chapter 15, verse 20 through 24. And it reads, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on him, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Here is the prodigal son. Asked for all that he was due him, and his father, against his tuition, against his will, gave it to him and let him go. But his son out there, and all that he did, lost it all. And being in the pig pen, he realized something was different. And so he decided, I can do better than this. Let me go back home and let me see if my father's servants. His servants do better than this. So let me go home and ask him, just let me be a servant. Just let me have a roof over. A bed to sleep in, a roof over my head, and I'll serve you, have some food, and I'll serve you. But his father didn't say that. His father called all the servants to go fetch the fatted calf, kill the fatted calf, put a robe and a ring and some shoes on his feet. My son has returned. My son has returned. He was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now brought his son in, and he brought his son back. He loved his son. That was love. Now, I have given you the duty of the father. Train. Provide, nurture, provoke not, rule your house, control your house. And I've given you examples of fatherhood. I say, due to the time, I'm not going to read this last scripture, but due to the time, and I'll just sum up this last one. It's about Abraham. Abraham was given a son. God promised Abraham a son, and God gave him a son. But God wanted to know if he loved his son more than he loved God. And God put a charge to him and told him to go away from all the family, go up to Mount Moriah and sacrifice his son. And we know the story. Abraham obeyed God and went all the way up to Moriah, took his son, put him on the altar, and got ready to come down and kill him and burn him. But he knew, because his son asked him, I see everything for the sacrifice, but I don't see the sacrifice itself. He said, and Abraham said, God will provide. And so he did. He went up, he came, he took the knife and was going to kill his son. But God, the angel said, Abraham, Abraham, now we know that you love God more than your son. Don't kill your son. And God provided the ram in the bush. And he took the ram and sacrificed the lamb. So these are examples of fatherhood.
Yeah.
Father wept for his son. Father prayed and fasted for his child. Father sought out help for the child, his daughter being sick or died. The father whose son, the prodigal son, left home, saw his son and showed him, when he came back, showed him love.
Amen.
Abraham will sacrifice his son. But Abraham obeyed God. He loved his son. This is my son. You're going to tell me to kill my son? But Abraham knew God. And so, brethren, I say to you, take this word and be the father that you're supposed to be. Don't be a rolling stone. Don't, wherever your hat is your home. No, you got one place. That's your home. That's what God gave you. That's where you're supposed to stay. Yeah, if there's some situation in the home that you take it to the Lord. Both you and your wife pray and come to agreement and give it to God. Don't go and divorce your wife. Don't run away from your responsibility. That's your children. So we give God praise. We give God glory tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Father God, I ask you, Lord, to move by your spirit. Lord, touch every father, touch every household. God, touch the children, that they love on their parents. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Back in the hands of the narrator.
Amen. God bless you, Apostle Holloway. God bless you. That was a great message. That was a great inspirational message to fathers that allows us to see that we need to step up and love God first. And if we love God first, we're going to do all the things with the word that the word of God says. Amen. God bless
Amen.
You. You know, when you were talking about, you know, not provoking to wrath and not provoking to anger, you know, we got to know as parents that there are certain things that certain ways that we have to do things. And
yes.
If we do them in a godly manner, you know, it's not going to provoke the wrong ideals in our children. And so the thing is, and if it does seem that way, if God's word gets you in trouble, it's going to get you out of trouble. So that means to say that they'll look at what we have instilled when it says, be angry and sin not.
Putting God's word into
practice. And so, you know, the duties of a father and the examples of fatherhood, that's great. That's a great message on this coming up Father's Day. And also, we also have Juneteenth coming up. Juneteenth actually is tomorrow. And so we want to be encouraged and just know that even though things are what they seem, in some instances where we have black people being murdered by police officers and we have all of this kind of stuff going on, know that we are still free and we have to live like it. God has set us free long before. And if God has set us free, whom God sets free is truly free indeed. So we can be in any situation and be free. But Lincoln had signed a proclamation, you know, that the slaves were free, but it wasn't like till 2 years later that it was ever really discovered that, you know, that the slaves were free. And so we're commemorating that day in our acknowledgement of being free. But again, I say, as long as we are free, as long as we are in the Lord, we are free. As long as we are, that's why we go to God in everything. We acknowledge Him. We acknowledge God in all that we do. And so, you know, like the song that was playing earlier, it had a line in there that said, "Let your light shine down on mankind. Let your light shine down on mankind." That's asking God just to shine on everyone in the way that He sees fit. And when people see who God is, when people see who God is in the strength of their you know, when they're walking in their testimony, then they can truly understand that we need to live for God. And if we live for God, we're going to raise our children up in the way that they should go. And when they become old, they won't depart from it. So I just want to thank you again for that, for the message. It was a great and timely message. All of the scriptures were right on point. And Apostle Holloway, I just, you know, again, I thank you. And I know the listeners have gotten something out of it. Has gotten, you know, some encouragement, you know, something to build on, something to stand on from this word. So God bless you. God bless you.
We give God praise and glory.
Amen. Go ahead.
Amen. Glory to God. Well, now is the time of the program that we all love. We've heard a wonderful word for Father's Day. And if you are in our studio and you would like to put your praise on it, or you would just like to encourage the mighty man of God, because believe it or not, when you preach the word according to the way it's supposed to, you don't get a lot of amens and you don't get a lot of encouragement. Hallelujah. Because unfortunately, folks are real content to live in the sin that they're in. So if you just want to reach out and give a word to the man of God, you are welcome. Just press your 1. I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. I want to thank Apostle Holloway and, of course, my wonderful brother, Pastor Jeffrey. While I'm waiting, we do have Fast Spirit Alive family in the house. So, Apostle Zeta, I know that you have been sitting in and listening tonight. Would you like to have a word, ma'am?
Yes, I would. That was a good word and a timely word, and for Father's Day, and I pray that there were fathers listening in to hear this great word. There was some great advice for fathers, and it was just really really clear about how a father should be. His father should be loving, he should be nurturing his children, and I love the illustrations that were shown, such as the prodigal son. He had a loving father. His father showed his love. He was happy when his son returned, you know. And sometimes, you know, some of our children sometimes may leave the home, you know, for whatever reason. It might not be a long time, but whatever. But, you know, we should be caring about them, loving them enough to go to God and ask him to protect them while they are away. And then when they do return, and I know we can be upset sometimes over the way they take off or whatever, but when they return, we've already prayed, if we're God-fearing, we've already prayed for them, and so when they return, we should be thankful and grateful, such as this father was, you know. And he made that son welcome back home and allowed him to know that he did love him. And he actually proved it. I mean, he did some extra things, you know, to allow him to know that he was pleased that he was back home. So that was a wonderful illustration, as well as Joseph. And we know that he had a loving father as well. He really cared about that son. So these were great illustrations, and the advice to fathers was great. Everything was backed up by the Word of God, and that goes far. Once the word is out, it goes out and it accomplishes what it was sent out to do. It was great. It was a great word.
Amen. I have to agree.
The hands of Bishop Sherlane.
Amen. I have to agree with you, Apostle Zeta. It was a wonderful word, and I particularly like the illustration of the prodigal son, because it just that's the way God is. You know, we get out here and we our eyes get to seeing things, and we want to do this, and we want to go off and do that, and we think we know better than the Father. But, you know, and you know, he's a gentleman. He gives us free will choice. He lets us go on out there and do our thing. But then when we get tired, after we've messed it up, jacked it up, whatever, here we come, dragging back to the Father.
Amen.
And we should, with a repentant heart.
Yes.
And God the Father is just like that father in the story of the prodigal son. He rejoices. Because you are coming back, and you are, you know, the Word of God says, when we sin, hallelujah, we go to him and confess our sin.
Yes.
That he is just and faithful to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, you know, I just want to thank you, Apostle, for the wonderful word tonight and the wonderful illustrations. Again, it was backed up by the Word of God. If there is nothing else, hallelujah, then I don't see any ones, because the word was very clear tonight. You know, the word went forth, like Apostle Zeta said, it went forth. So I get it, you know. So I will turn it back over into the hands of Pastor Jeffrey and allow him to close his program. Amen.
Amen. God bless each and every one of you. You know, it was, a word that went out, and we pray and have faith that it's not going to come back void, because it was the Word of God that was preached. So we're so thankful for that. And now we're closing the program. So I want to thank each and everyone for taking their time to listen and to just to hear God's word and to be encouraged. I pray that you got encouragement out of it. And we, as Spirit Alive, we pray that you acknowledge God in all that you do, And our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Amen.
Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Hallelujah. We just want to send out a heartfelt happy anniversary to Apostle and his beautiful wife on the 21st. So they will have their anniversary before we meet again. So happy anniversary. God bless you. And be ye transformed, everybody. Glory to God. Amen. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.